Hello, everyone. This is Stelly FD.
And Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about the power of words.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
That's right. I think this is something both Stelly and I are thinking about a lot and probably subconsciously are if that even exists, let me give that context. Actually, it's very interesting. I was talking to one of my cousins, and he's a physician, and he said, I've looked at brains, like, you know, the brain scans and all that.
Yeah.
There's no subconscious. I can't prove it. We were having a philosophical conversation.
Okay.
But anyways, I think we both really care about words and how we communicate.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to do an episode on the power of words. Right?
Yes, and you know, I think that words matter a lot in life in general. Language matters. And it matters also very much in the context of entrepreneurship, you know, building a business, finding ways to communicate what you're trying to accomplish, what you're accomplishing with yourself, your partners, your team, and the world at large. But you also said that right now words are an interesting topic because you're building a product around words.
Yeah.
So you started like calling people out when they use, you know.
Unclear words is usually my reasoning. It's like if I don't understand what that means and you're assuming I know what it means, but I don't understand, I'll call you out on it.
Yes.
Right? So it's like when people say, that was a really clean design. Because I've said that before and I say it, I'm like, okay, so can you explain why do you think it was a clean design?
Yeah.
And then they start saying, oh, there's white space and the colors are light, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So then I know what clean design means to you. So it's almost like a way, it's basically like you can ask, what do you mean? Right.
Yes.
And then clarify and then reword.
Yeah.
So then I end up doing that. I'm like, oh, do you mean blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's a good one. Because I think for most of us, we don't really understand. We've never learned how language even works, how the brain computes language and how we turn language into meaning.
Yeah,
and if you study language, you realize that, and you know, I've studied hypnosis for a long time.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting things about hypnosis, when you learn the mechanics of how it works and what does make it work or not, and we're not talking about the type of like stage hypnosis that's like making people pretend they're chickens or something. It's interesting how that works. We can talk about that. But when we talk about just more like clinical hypnosis, the interesting part is that a lot of language is, you know, if you take a typical sentence like, he bought a house, that seems to be a sentence that has, you know, that makes sense. Well, he bought a house. All right, I get that. But if you look at the language structure of that, that sentence is missing a shit ton of data. And what the brain does at all times is
it fills
a lot of data in to make meaning. And it's a very kind of productive habit of the brain, because otherwise we would constantly slow down our communication. We would go back and forth until you filled out all the data. So when I say he bought a house, there's many, many things the brain.
Who is he?
From whom? Another person? The owner? Somebody else?
What did he use to buy it?
What money? What currency? Right? And there's many, many more even that are not as obvious. The brain just adds it. If I tell this to somebody in the US, it's obviously bought by dollars versus somebody in Europe might be euros. You know, there's all kinds of different images that will be created, which brings up another point, which is that language is much more visual than we understand.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people think that the brain computes language
In words. No.
But it does it in images.
That's right.
And
your brain doesn't really have words if you think
Yes.
Right? Like you're not speaking in words in your head.
Yes.
You're typing words out. It's not like letter by letter.
No. Right? So you create images. And this is another really fascinating thing, because we are not self-aware about this.
Yeah.
So when you talk to people and you say, can you visualize this thing? A lot of people will go, I'm so bad at visualizing. I can't visualize anything. And then you ask them a question and they go, huh? And they look up and they focus their eyes. And you're like, what the fuck are you looking at? Like, it's an image you're creating. You're trying to, you're like, I don't have clarity on this. Like, what exactly do you mean here?
Right?
What are you looking at? We constantly create images, but those images are not as crystal clear as reality.
I'm going to dig into one that I think is important, right? And imagery came to mind, and you're going to love this one, I think. It's the whole we versus I versus me versus you.
Yeah.
Not versus, but you know?
Yeah.
And so pet peeve of mine is when I hear a founder, a leader, or even an individual, individual team members, not as critical, but would be nice, but when they say I, right? And instead of saying we. And when founders say that, like, I have this instinctual, like, I really, really need to correct them, like, right now. I got to stop you. Just don't, what? Yeah. Like, it's a collective thing. And if you think about visualizing that, when you, I'm sure there's different visuals when you say, I did this versus we did this in people's heads.
Yes.
Right? And think about it, right? Let's say you're on stage, right, at a conference, and you're, you know, 20-person startup. It's going pretty well, right? Like, and you're sitting there, and in the audience, there could be one or maybe 10 people that could work for you or with you or whatever way you want to call it, right, depending on whether you're using I or we.
Right.
I, it's for you. We, it's with you.
Yeah.
So instantly, you're going to segment yourself to people that gravitate towards working for you versus working with you if you use I versus we. So I think people, founders, that one, they don't understand how they impact how people feel about them, think about them and their companies when they use I versus we.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful example. And the person that popped up in my mind immediately, the visual that was created immediately, was one of a person, a founder that most people would think was one of the biggest egomaniacs, Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
But if you think about Steve Jobs' performance on stage, there was no I thought this, it's always we, even to the extent where at the end he would make people stand up who worked on a certain product project to get applause, right? And this might have been a different persona than how he was in the company, but he understood deeply how to, you know, make this not about himself, make this about something greater of himself when he presented these ideas or products to the world.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful example. Another example that I bring up there, and this is just even more to like, we're not going to be able to unravel all the knowledge around words and their power and the meaning. And we don't, right? But I do think it's important to start to become a student of words.
Yeah.
And it's important to be aware of the power of words and the way that you communicate with others. So one other example on this I, we, you situation is that people communicate usually in one of two formats. Either an associated way or a disassociated way.
Yes.
And associated means that I communicate from a version where